You're listening to the Geriatric Mamas Podcast with Jessica Raziri
and Sonia Tapley.
Finally, for once, it's me in the panic seat. And it's like, you're the one that's like, what?
Yeah.
Oblivious so when to everything that's going on.
It's more than oblivion. Because when I got home from dropping Annabelle off at her Mimi's house, I was sitting in front of my computer blanking out as far as what I needed to be. Like, I knew driving here that I needed to be, like, working on the outline and I wanted to get it done today so that I was just putting final touches on it tomorrow. And so I'm sitting there staring at our inbox going, crickets. Okay, well, I feel like there's something I really needed to do. Yes, I needed to do the outline. I'm doing the outline. So I get into the outline. I like start doing it. I'm listening to this other video thinking maybe we should put that in, but it was nothing that you had sent me. So it was kind of irrelevant. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just start putting in the information from the stuff that Jessica sent me. And so I started doing that. And then you're like, texting me, I can't get into the Google Docs. I'm like, okay. And then you're like, it's kind of time sensitive. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I look and it had expired already. I'm like, I don't, okay, well, I'm glad we're working on this together. This is really fun.
My God. Well, so, okay, just so our listeners know, WTF is going on here. So last week we were talking about how I was in the hot seat because I made Sonia worry about like, where the fuck I was. I wasn't responding. I wasn't answering. And now today, Sonia's in the hot seat because Sonia mixed up our recording days. We changed days that we were going to be recording. We moved it around because it was like, it just worked out for when Hayden was going to be with Gam Gam and just timing and stuff and whatever. So I'm thinking we're all good to go. I like made sure everything was like all set. Usually I'm like the one that's like behind, like Sonia's like has her shit together. She's prepared. She's good to go. I'm usually strolling into the recording like 10 minutes late, like with my latte, like, oh, here I am. What's up? Glad to be here. So I was all proud of myself. I was like ahead of the game. I was all ready. I sent her the link to the recording like 5 minutes beforehand. I'm like, I'm going to go get a drink, go into the bathroom. We're good to go. And it's crickets. I don't hear anything. I'm like, all right, not a big deal. I'm a little bit early. It's fine. And, you know, again, she's probably expecting me to be late because usually I am. And so then I'm like, all right, I'm going to let the pugs out, you know, while I wait. And still nothing. She's just like, didn't even leave me on read. It just said delivered. She hadn't even gotten it yet. I'm just like, okay, that's weird. So I let the pugs out, whatever. They're taking like their long, like leisurely pug piss. And then I come in and still no Sonia, still no messages. I'm like, what is going on? So now it's like 10 minutes behind when we're supposed to be like recording. And I'm like calling her. It's just going to voicemail. I'm texting. Absolutely nothing. Crickets. 15 minutes goes by. I'm like, what the hell? 30 minutes goes by. What is going on? Finally get a hold of this bitch. And she answers the phone. She's like, oh, I'm just getting out of the shower. I'm just putting a towel in my hair. What's up?
I had a yes queen shower.
This bitch is having a yes queen shower.
My hair is
while
washed.
We're supposed to be fucking recording.
My hair is washed. I smell nice.
And then at that point, because like my mind, like this is where we're very much alike in that way. You go from like first annoyed and then like pissed and then like the worry and the panic sets in because I'm like, it's not like Sonia not to answer. So the only logical reason as to why she's not answering right now is because she's dead.
Right, obviously.
Like, that's it. That's it. That's the only reason. No, it's not because she's having a Yas Queen shower. It's because she's wrapped around the pole somewhere or she's in a ditch or something really bad happened. Like, that's the only reason. Like, it's like it goes from, like, everything's great to, like, total devastation is the way my mind works. So then she answers the shower. She's like, I just got in the shower. What's going on? There's like a pause for a minute. And then I just kind of like start breaking down crying. And I'm like, we're supposed to be recording right now. I don't know what's going on. I'm crying. She's like, what the hell?
I'm like, well, I can't go on video because I'm literally sopping wet right now. So I'm just gonna, like, I had just put the towel around myself, barely. So I'm sopping wet. My phone's getting wet. I'm like, well, we're not gonna be able to go on video.
I'm glad that you're very much alive. And I'm glad you got a Yas Queen shower in.
Yeah. It's not the only reason why, like, I could have been dead this week, by the way.
Why? What happened?
Because of the ice snowstorm that happened.
Yes.
So,
Okay, so also too, I will give you some grace because of all of that. You've been without power. You've had to stay in a hotel. There's been a lot of shit going on. So I will give you some grace.
Yeah.
Now that I know you're alive and we're okay, I can move past this. But yeah. Just don't fucking do that again. That scared the shit out of me.
I don't know what day it is anymore. I don't know what day it is. Jessica said you want to record on such and such a time on such and such a day instead of the other one. And I'm like, yeah, sure, of course. And I like totally read it wrong.
Yeah. I like hearted it. Everything's great. Yeah, that works. Does it work though? I don't think it works.
Clearly it didn't.
Very clearly did not work.
And luckily, my mother-in-law doesn't have anything going on tonight because I had texted her when we were trying to plan it originally for the like original day and time. I had texted her assuming she had something she had to do tonight. And she's like, no, I'm fine. So I was like, oh, good. So I just texted her like while my hands were still soaking wet. I'm like, FYI, we're recording today. right now.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Well, I'm glad to see that you have power.
Thanks. Yeah. So the trainer.
Yeah, fill everybody in on WTF was going on.
So we had this hard launched ice snowstorm on Saturday that we all just thought was gonna be a little bit of snow and then a little bit of rain, and nobody was panicking. The weather people weren't like dramatizing anything. They were just kind of like, oh yeah, a little bit of dramatizing. They weren't doing that. We were just all a little bit pissed that we were getting more snow in March and whatever, like it is what it is. And so then Saturday night comes along and we're watching Moana. We're like getting to the good part of Moana, and all of a sudden you just see all these flashes of light right outside our window, hear these huge cracks, and it was clear that the tree in front of our yard had basically exploded. And with that went the power line that like basically landed right in front of my neighbor's doorway. So like our neighbors are calling the fire department because the power line was like on top of all the tree branches that had just fallen on the ground, like right in front of their apartment. So then happens, and the rest of the power line that goes down to the road fell down. And then we look out the window and we just see all these fire trucks and ambulances like across the road, and we didn't really know what happened, but Annabelle fell asleep like through all of that somehow. She fell asleep, and then Mike and I were just sitting here for a few minutes. We just kept hearing like all these mini explosions going off, and we're like, what's going on? I'm texting the girls, like, thank God I charged my phone a half hour ago. And so we woke up the next morning, obviously still no power. And we like walked our neighborhood, and there were trees like sticking straight out of people's apartments. It was like serious Armageddon over here. And our neighborhood got it the worst. I mean, it was pretty bad everywhere. But we were supposed to be on Sunday, we were supposed to be going out for my mom's 10-year anniversary of passing. And she passed on March 25th of 2014. So we were going to do it on Sunday. And apparently, like, nothing really happened in New Hampshire for my brother. Like, in his neighborhood, everything was fine. So they were, like, getting ready to go. They have to drive almost 2 hours, 2.5 hours to get here. So, like, they were getting ready to go. And I'm, like, texting, like, hey, we're looking for a hotel room. Like, we're not going to be able to do anything today. We're going to have to reschedule for Easter Sunday. Sunday or something. And so it was crazy.
My gosh. Yeah. But then Annabelle got to, because you found a hotel with a pool. So Annabelle got some pool time. Yeah, so that's fun.
She always loves when the power goes out here.
You know what's funny is I remember being a kid and I actually used to think it was fun when the power go out too. Because we lived in like the country and it was like all, and we get like really, really dark, but we had like a wood stove. So we would keep the house warm with a wood stove and you have like candles everywhere. And then it was just usually like my dad and I just like messing with my mom and like annoying her. But yeah, I don't know. To a kid, it's just like there's something exciting about it.
Right.
We lost power a few weeks ago, or actually it was about a month ago. And it was at like 9 o'clock, or no, it wasn't. It was like 8:30. So it wasn't like super late, but it was like just late enough to be like dark.
Yeah.
And I was like in the kitchen and Hayden was like in the living room and like we had like his show on or whatever. And then all of a sudden everything goes out. And like it took me a minute because I had stuff in my hands and I'm like, oh shit, like where do I put stuff down? I'm like looking around. Everything's pitch black because your eyes don't adjust right away. So you can't see anything. And then I hear Hayden go, hi. Because he's just standing like, who turned off the lights? And it was just like so funny. And then like he was just like, ah, ah, like making these noises. But I was like listening for him. I'm like, okay, he's over here. I'm trying to find my way to him. I turned on the candles everywhere and he just thought it was like the fun. Like you could just tell he was having so much fun. Like he thought
was so entertained by this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Annabelle was too, but like it was gonna be 19 degrees overnight, and so I was under like 4 blankets. Annabelle sleeps hot and doesn't like blankets, so she kept kicking them off, so I kept putting them back on her because it was freezing in here.
Yeah,
so that's why we had to find the hotel room, but it was good. They had like a nice breakfast in the morning and it was just relaxing. So
it's like a little mini staycation.
Yeah, exactly.
An unexpected staycation.
Exactly. Well, I will get into it. This episode is going to be a coffee combos, which I don't have coffee because I didn't have time to make coffee because I wonder why.
Because she just needs to get it together today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a coffee-less combos, coffee right. combos.
Right, exactly. I've got my sparkle water. We're good. So this sparkle water combos is going to be about a variety of topics, including a viral TikTok post about waiting rooms at the OBGYN offices, a new and hard launched geriatric celebrity mama baby announcement, Crystal Anderson's passing after the stillbirth of her daughter, and Halle Berry's bout with perimenopause, aka sexy menopause.
That article, yeah, when I sent that to you, I was like, I could not stop laughing at it. I'm like, is this for real? I thought it was a joke at first. Right, and then I'm just like, okay, this needs to be talked about.
It's, yeah.
Woman calls for separate waiting rooms at OBGYN offices after she experiences pregnancy loss, people.com. A TikToker opening up about her experiences trying to conceive is getting honest about the accommodations those struggling should have access to. TikToker India Batson went viral on the platform earlier this month when she made a video making a recommendation to OBGYN offices, going on to propose a different waiting area if you're there for a miscarriage. An ectopic pregnancy, a ruptured ectopic pregnancy. If you're there for a loss, I'd like there to be a separate waiting room than the regular waiting room, because sitting in that waiting room next to tons of pregnant women while you wait to go back to get blood work to see if your HCG is back to zero sucks. Like, absolutely sucks. Speaking to people, she explains, I've experienced back-to-back pregnancy losses, and in September of last year, I had a ruptured ectopic pregnancy and had to be rushed into emergency surgery to remove my fallopian tube on the right side. Then a couple of months later, we began to try again, and we got pregnant in January of this year, and I had a miscarriage last month. India found that the woman in her life didn't open up about pregnancy loss until she discovered her own, despite it happening in 1 in 4 pregnancies. I think it's something that society has placed a stigma around. Women often experience guilt and shame. It's something we don't shine a light on. We don't speak about it, hiding in our homes and dealing with it alone, she explains. When returning to her OBGYN to check her blood work, India experienced a rush of emotion that I was not expecting from being back in the same room where I found out that my child passed away inside of me, she says. One day, I was sitting in the waiting room with my husband looking at the ultrasound photo of our baby. 2 weeks later, when I filmed that video in the waiting room, I was in the exact same room. This time, I'm alone and my husband no longer there. There is no longer an ultrasound photo in my hand. It's just the complete opposite experience, she continues, noting that being around pregnant peers made it sting that much more. I'm so happy for those women who are pregnant. I celebrate them, but sitting next to visibly pregnant women in the waiting room when you were there to follow up after pregnancy loss is mentally challenging, to say the least, she says. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is such a I really wish. I know it's kind of hard. Obviously, you know, not every doctor's office is equipped that way, but I feel like that needs to be a thing.
Yeah.
I would have personally really appreciated that, because that was kind of hard for me to read, because I was kind of like mentally thinking about that experience. And I just remember having that same exact feeling. It's like, you're so happy for these women, like, you know, of like pregnancies. Right. It's beautiful. It's amazing. But when you're literally sitting there experiencing a loss and you keep feeling it's just so heartbreaking. And then it's just to see it, you know, it's just,
I can only imagine. I mean, I think it's something that obviously they don't think about, and that's why they're not there. But it's such a valid point. Not sure how they would
or
do
maybe
it.
Maybe like if it's, yeah, I don't really know how to do it, but maybe like if it could be something where if it's marked on your chart, like what you're going in for, mm-hmm. then maybe instead of having you wait in the waiting room, they can mm-hmm. quickly bring you back to a different room or yeah. bring you to like a room that's not occupied just mm-hmm. for like a separate and be like, you know, or give you the option, like, would right. you prefer to wait over here? Do you want, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Yeah, I definitely think that should be handled a little, like, with a little bit more grace than it currently is.
You're in, like, the hospital, you know, and you receive bad news and they pull you over into yes. your own room, like something yeah. like that. Yeah.
You know, and I hate always referring back to, like, our vet and like yeah. animals and stuff. But so our vet, they do this thing where if somebody, so when you go into the vet office, there's a candle, it's like a fake candle, but there's a little sign that says if the candle's flickering, it's please be like, try to watch your tone and try to like keep it down to a minimum. It means that there's somebody in the other room. Like mm-hmm. they have like a room where they put the dogs yeah. to sleep, you know, yeah. if they have to let a dog go. And yeah. so they have that candle burning to kind of let people know, like, just mm-hmm. try to keep right. it to a minimum.
Yeah.
And then it's like in that separate room. And it's not, I'm not saying that you need to have like a candle burning in the front and make it a right. big thing, but like maybe just something like that same, like we do that kind of, we have that compassion for animals, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, right. why can't we have that same compassion for humans? Like, right. I feel like that's just something that is just such a, it's just such a missed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. I don't know. When I read that, I was just like, yes, amen, please. Absolutely. Right. I feel like right. that absolutely 1000% needs to be a thing for sure. Right.
I agree.
I feel like, you know, the whole thing that she was mentioning about it being stigmatized and people not talking about it. I mean, people talk about it when their, you know, their dog dies, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, I feel like it's just all over Facebook. I see stuff every day of people losing their cat or losing their dog. And, you know, miscarriage is a huge loss and it's stigmatized, like she said. So I feel like this, if it becomes a thing, could actually like help a little bit. I think mm-hmm. your idea is actually genius.
Or at least like, you know, if you like, because I understand like some doctor's offices, like the old OB I used to go to, it's a really small office. They don't have like a ton of rooms. And so it's like, there's always people in like the waiting rooms. And mm-hmm. so if it's a situation like that, then maybe just like try to plan like the with scheduling, like when you're going to have this particular person come in when there's not a lot of traffic, so mm-hmm. a lot of people. So that way you can like put them, like quickly escort them to another room when they get in, or, you know, just be a little bit more aware of it. Like
right.
in that moment, just a little bit of compassion exactly. goes a long way. Like I remember, and I don't know if you remember this, but I remember sitting in the fertility clinic and we had already had like, it was like after like the second or third failed IVF attempt. Mm-hmm. And somebody came in, she was pregnant and she had her like 2-year-old son with her. And my eyes just like filled up with tears because it's mm-hmm. like in that moment, it just felt like, and it wasn't a personal attack on me, but in that mm-hmm. moment, it just felt like the universe was like rubbing it in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember texting you girls like, oh, it shouldn't be allowed to bring your kids to a fertility clinic waiting room. Do you remember me saying
yes.
that? Like,
yeah.
like in that moment, it felt so like justified yeah. to say that. It felt mm-hmm. like it was like an obvious thing. Not, you know, why would right. you bring your child to a fertility? Right. Like, how insensitive, you know?
Right.
Like, because in your mind, in that moment, like to me, it was insensitive. And I wasn't thinking like, well, I mean, what if she didn't have childcare? What if like mm-hmm. she had to, what yeah. are you talking about? She's going to the doctor's office.
Right.
She's allowed to bring her child with her. Like
right.
it's so ridiculous, but it's like when you're in that mindset, like mm-hmm. you're depressed. You're not right. thinking clearly. You're just so fragile and vulnerable and emotional mm-hmm. and you're just going through so much. And so just the little bit of compassion in that moment of somebody saying like, hey, what do you want to come sit over here? Mm-hmm. Or if you would like, there is a room over here if you'd feel right. more comfortable. Like yeah. something like in that moment, I would have gladly grabbed my shit and like went right. and sat in that other room, you know, because
right.
I couldn't mentally see that and be around it. It killed me.
Right. No, definitely. There needs to be a little bit more empathy, compassion, and recognition for the reason why people are there, because they're mm-hmm. vastly different a lot of the times.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea. So
our next topic that we have is Cameron Diaz and Benji Madden welcomed their second child over the weekend. Celebrity moms love announcing surprise babies. Hello, Chrissy Teigen, Paris Hilton, and Halle Berry. And it's easy to see why. It's fun to shock the world by hard launching your new baby. And we definitely were shocked by the latest couple to drop their baby news, Cameron Diaz and Benji Madden. This star-studded duo was apparently always hoping for another baby to add to their family, and they finally got their wish. In case you missed it, the Good Charlotte rock star and Charlie's Angel star announced over the weekend that they welcomed baby boy named Cardinal. We are blessed and excited to announce the birth of our son, Cardinal Madden, Madden wrote on a joint post on Instagram. He is awesome, and we are also happy he's here. He added, for the kids' safety and privacy, we won't be posting any pictures, but he's really cute. We're feeling blessed and grateful, sending much love from our family to yours. Best wishes and good afternoon. Diaz and Madden, who are also parents to daughter Radix, who's 4, had been wanting another baby, according to reports. They were always hoping for a second baby because they love being parents, an insider told People. For years, Cameron wanted to be a mom. She gets very emotional when she talks about the long journey to motherhood. She feels beyond lucky to now have 2 children. Now we are getting emotional because that's too sweet, said the reporter. This baby news seems to prove a July 2022 source right, who told US Weekly, Cameron and Benji have discussed having another child and have been looking into surrogate options for a while now. Benji always wanted to have a big family, and Cameron didn't need to be persuaded after the arrival of their daughter. So this article was by SheKnows.com.
I love Cameron Diaz so much. I feel like, to me, she's always like, I always picture her, well, like Something About Mary, but then also, right. What was the one?
Oh, The Holiday?
Well, yeah, but no, Holiday. But what was the one? Oh my God. Selma Blair was in it. Fuck, what show? Okay, I need to look this up. Not show, movie. Cameron Diaz.
When I was looking up articles on her new baby and everything too, like, she was getting backlash from like so many people. Like, she's gonna be 67 or something when the baby graduates from high school and all this stuff. And it's like, people just need to be happy. Like,
I know, just leave her alone.
She clearly had to go through hell to like,
right,
have these babies.
And she's like, has so much money, so she can literally make herself live forever. So it's fine.
That's true.
The sweetest thing. Yes. Yeah, so the sweetest thing. That's so that's the camera that I picture. Mm-hmm. Like Cameron Diaz that I picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also like Something About Mary. So like, I don't know. To me, she'll always be that age.
Right.
You know, like some people just have that face that it's just like, you're never aging. This is always going to be you. You're always going to stay
that age forever. I think I've heard that way too. So when they said, I think, how old was she? Like 47 or something when she was pregnant with Radix, or not pregnant, but when she was expecting Radix, I was like, what? That's not even possible.
Yeah. So she's what, 54 now? Is that what they said?
Yeah. Like 51 or something. I think it was 51.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is like a hard pill to swallow, to think about, you know, the longevity part of it is like really, it's just not a fun thing to think about. But I mean, we've already talked about this. Like, I just feel like, you know, she takes care of herself from what I can see. Like, she's very healthy. Mm-hmm. She's going to outlive all of us, I feel. So I don't think you have to worry about it. 100%. I feel like you gave me all the really like depressing ones to read.
I was trying to give you the first one, and then it ended up being, I was trying to like balance, like
do it like sad, happy, sad, happy. Like, so now to bring the mood down a bit, now for your daily downer. So this one's really devastating.
Yeah.
Crystal Anderson, former Kansas City Chiefs cheerleader, is dead at 40 after having a stillbirth. ETOnline.com. Crystal Chrissy Anderson, a former cheerleader for the Kansas City Chiefs, died on March 20th of sepsis following the stillbirth of her daughter, Charlotte Willow Anderson, at 21 weeks. She was 40. According to her obituary, the former cheerleader died unexpectedly on March 20th, shortly after she delivered her stillborn daughter. A GoFundMe set up in her honor says Anderson's fight with sepsis led to organ failure, and she was placed on life support and then underwent 3 surgeries, but the source of infection remained elusive. In the early hours of March 20th, surrounded by her devoted family, sweet Chrissy passed away, The tribute continued, her radiant smile would light up the darkest room, and her sassy responses never failed to bring laughter and joy. She loved with her whole heart, leaving an imprint on everyone fortunate enough to know her. According to her obituary, Anderson worked as a yoga instructor and software engineer after cheering for the Chiefs from 2006 to 2011 and 2013 to 2016. While working as an engineer at Oracle Health, Anderson was awarded a patent for developing software that assesses the risk of postpartum hemorrhage. Crystal radiated joy and laughter to everyone she encountered, the obituary reads. She was passionate about philanthropy, working with Big Brothers and Big Sisters of KC, Gabriella's Little Library, and the First Hand Foundation. She fiercely advocated for Black women in STEM and women's health. In addition to daughter Charlotte, Anderson was preceded in death by son James Charles, who also died in infancy. Anderson is survived by her husband Clayton, parents Bertha and Burnett, BJ Johnson, brother Corey Johnson, grandmother Carrie Banks, and several other extended relatives and in-laws. The article also says, there is a GoFundMe which aims to help cover the medical expenses incurred during Crystal's fight, contribute to a meaningful memorial service, and establish a legacy fund. This fund will support causes and initiatives that were close to Chrissy's heart. Let's ensure that her name lives on, not only in our memories, but also in a positive actions we take in her honor. Together, we can continue the magic she brought into our lives and make a difference for others. The GoFundMe link will be in our show notes for this episode as well, so people can
how
go check that out.
How crazy is it that she was working, or she had worked on a patent for developing the software that assesses the risk for postpartum hemorrhage? Like,
and then here we are.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I know that one of our expert guests had had to do an emergency DNC, and I can't remember if it was because, I think it might have been because of a hemorrhage, not sepsis. Mm-hmm. But it's so confusing to me.
I don't understand how this wasn't, like, how did it even get to that? Like, how
like
does that
sepsis,
happen?
Was the sepsis in her body while she was pregnant or after the stillbirth happened? Like, it's really hard because they didn't really mention any of that, and they just said that they couldn't find the origin of the sepsis.
Mm-hmm.
So,
God, I'm just like thinking about like the whole family, right? Like, right. That's so devastating. But it's like to have a stillbirth, first mm-hmm. of all, is already devastating. So, right. It's like to be the husband of that, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like,
yeah.
First, you find out that you're losing your child,
right?
Which is fucking terrible. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, your wife mm-hmm. is like not doing okay. And then right. all of a sudden you lose your wife
mm-hmm.
immediately after.
Yeah. It's
like you go from cloud nine of about mm-hmm. to like bring in another life and then you mm-hmm. lose two lives mm-hmm. like shortly after. Like
right.
I can't.
Right.
How does somebody even come back from that? It's so devastating. I can't.
Yeah.
The whole yeah. idea of it's kind of like the. When we talk about miscarriage, how it's like, mm-hmm. you know, people don't really want to talk about it because it's like not fun to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. You know, for me, like, I'm like so afraid. Like, the whole idea of stillbirth is just mm-hmm. like,
right. You go through what for her 21 weeks mm-hmm. of expecting this baby. Same with, you know, I mean, well known like Chrissy mm-hmm. Teigen. I can't remember what. And then I have a work friend who I think the baby was at 22 weeks and she was born alive and then like only made it a couple of weeks because she just wasn't as viable as like they were hoping, you know, when she came out.
So devastating.
Devastating.
I had a, I knew a girl who I used to work with back when I was like, a waitress.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know like the full details of this, so I'm probably missing a lot of context, but I just remember that she was like a week past her due date.
Mm-hmm.
The baby was kicking, the baby was moving, everything mm-hmm. was going great. And then they were just like, we're just waiting for the baby to come. And then it was like 2 weeks past the due date. We're still waiting for the baby to come. And then I was just like, well, at what point are you just going to like go in and get the baby out? Well,
right.
We're still waiting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're not ready to take it out yet. Like baby's still whatever. It's like, okay. And then all of a sudden it was like, finally, like when they went in to go get the baby, like the baby had like passed. And I'm like,
God.
Did they leave the baby in too long? Is that
right.
what happened?
Yeah, because I mean, that's what they were worried about with me because the placenta can kind of just die. And that's obviously, you know, what's keeping the baby alive. So if the placenta gets too old and dies, then, you know.
Like, I just don't understand how that's even a thing. Like, I feel like that should be, I don't know. That just to me just feels like there should extra, be some kind of lawsuit there.
Like you know, for the last month of pregnancy, you're going in at least once a week to just have confirmation that they can hear the heartbeat, not just us at home with our Dopplers. And then after the baby's due date, at that point, you're going in at least twice a week, I would assume, but maybe she didn't have any like additional issues. I don't know, but like I was going in a lot, so
yeah, I know. It's just, oh God, the whole idea of that. And I know we're getting kind of off topic, but yeah, I just every time I hear about stories about stillbirth, it's just like, it just, it's, I mean, I know it's every pregnant woman's nightmare, you know, is to think about, and nobody wants to think about it, but it's just like my mind is just has such a hard time thinking about what that would be like, because it's like, oh my God,
yeah,
I can't. And then to like lose your own life on top of it, you know, it's just like, man.
Yeah, the stillbirth part, I think for me, is also like you basically have to give birth one way or another, and then you meet your baby and you have to physically
say goodbye.
Like physically say goodbye. It's just heart-wrenching. Well, in slightly lighter news, Halle Berry recalls her doctor saying she had the worst case of herpes he'd ever seen. But it was actually just perimenopause. This is an article from people.com. And here at Geriatric Mamas, we actually call perimenopause sexy menopause. And this is, I think it's taken from Working Moms. You saw it on Working Moms.
Yeah. So it went from like, you have raging herpes to like, no, it's just sexy menopause.
Oops. I'm just kidding. This is just like a normal part of life. Like, you don't have raging...
You're raging herpes.
You might have raging hormones, but you don't have raging herpes.
Thank God for that. Let the record be known that Halle Berry does not have raging herpes.
Yeah.
I love how her quote in the top is, "My doctor had no knowledge and didn't prepare me." Like, I feel like we just, I feel like us, like, we are always going off on doctors. And, like, subconsciously, it just comes out of our mouths because we've experienced it. And that's our experience. And we're just, like, going off on doctors. But here we are with Halle Berry, and her doctor didn't know she was going into menopause.
Like, get a new fucking doctor. Like, are you kidding?
we should probably have a doctor at this point that knows about the female body. And anyway,
I think it's time to get a new doctor, Halle. I just, there's a hunch here that tells me that shit ain't right.
Yeah, there's a lot of women doctors out there who know about the female body. But
yeah.
So in this story, Halle Berry is detailing the bizarre way she learned she was in sexy menopause. During proper dailies, fourth, a day of unreasonable conversation summit Monday, the actress had a candid conversation with First Lady Dr. Jill Biden about menopause and women's health. The 57-year-old shared that she learned she was in perimenopause after her doctor mistook her symptoms for herpes. Sexy menopause refers to the time where your body starts to make its natural transition to menopause, which marks the end of a woman's reproductive years. First of all, my ego told me that I was going to skip perimenopause, she began. I'm in great shape. I'm healthy. I managed to get myself off insulin and manage my diabetes since I was 20 years old. So that makes one think, oh, I can handle menopause. I'm going to skip that whole thing. I was so uneducated about it at the time. Berry explained that when she was 54, she met the man of her dreams and started dating Grammy-winning musician Van Hunt. Sharing details about her sex life, the Oscar winner recalled having extreme pain after intercourse one day, so she immediately visited her doctor. I feel like I have razor blades in my vagina. I run to my gynecologist and I say, oh my God, what's happening? It was terrible, she recalled, teasing that she has no shame sharing her story because it can help other women. He said, you have the worst case of herpes I've ever seen. Can you imagine sitting there being told that you have the worst case of herpes the doctor has ever seen? And so she goes, I'm like, herpes? I don't have herpes. Obviously not, Halle Berry.
This goes from like when we were trying to get people to like send in their stories. Yeah. Like this is up there.
This is right up there. This is right up there with moldy eggs. It wasn't just like,
oh, maybe it's herpes. It's like you have the worst case of herpes I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh. We need to do an Instagram post about this. We really do.
Oh my god. I'm just like, I can't. I just picture like
Her face, mind you. Like, seriously.
Oh, shit. I'm crying. That was good.
Barry said she immediately confronted Hunt about it. Like, can you imagine her going back to her new boyfriend being like, what in the actual fuck? You gave me the worst case of herpes my doctor has ever seen.
You made my vagina angry.
Oh, man. However, the couple later both tested negative for the sexually transmitted disease. Go figure. I realize after the fact that it's a symptom of perimenopause, the actress said, noting that dryness is a symptom of the transitional period. My doctor had no knowledge and didn't prepare me. That's when I knew, oh my gosh, I've got to use my platform. I have to use all of who I am, and I have to start making a change and a difference for other women.
Yes, Hallie. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You sure
Educate.
Okay, now this is something that I was not aware of yet. So Barry ended her conversation by asking the audience to help us change the way culture views women at this stage in our life. Back in August 2023, the star spoke to Women's Health about menopause and said she's not going to surrender to society's expectations about it. In fact, Barry said she's challenging all those stereotypes about how you have to look a certain way or feel a certain way while she's smack dab in the middle of menopause. I am challenging everything I thought I knew about menopause. Things like your life is over, you're disposable, society no longer has a place for you, you should retire, you should pack it up. So again, this was a people.com article. If you see the picture in the article, Halle Berry looks like how she did in Monsters Ball, but with hair, like with she's gorgeous. A full head of hair.
She's another one that's always going to be like stunning, regardless how old she gets. My God, though, could you imagine? Like, you have the worst case of herpes I've ever seen. Like,
yeah, ew. I would have been like, mortified. What? Like, I probably would have been like, okay, well, I have to go now. I'm gonna go chug an entire container of vitamin C, and then I'm gonna ask someone else for antibiotics, not you. And like,
my God,
yeah, how insulting!
I like it's
and to be the doctor that looks Halle Berry in the eyes and says, "I'm so sorry to tell you this."
Holy shit. Okay, women, if your male doctor tells you that you have the worst case of herpes
without looking at your chart and checking your age,
or like anything you know that possibly could be happening,
get
a second opinion, please.
You're 54 and you have a vagina. Maybe this is sexy menopause as opposed to herpes. Who knows? I'm not sure.
Holy shit. Oh my God. That is so funny. Like, it's not funny, but it is funny. You know, it's like.
It is now. Like,
yeah. Now that it's been like established that she does not have raging herpes.
Right.
Raging hormones, not raging herpes.
Right.
Got it. Check.
Yes. Check.
So good.
Well, I feel like this episode you're not actually gonna have a lot to edit because it's not the longest episode we've ever done.
So. I mean, you'd be surprised. There's been some short episodes that have like been doozies.
And then real stunners.
Oh my God.
So for the past couple weeks, I think I've forgotten to remind everyone, but you got 20% off services at Ageless Medical Aesthetics in Westbrook, Maine with the code MAMAS2024 if you go onto their Instagram page and follow them and then give them a call to schedule. And then also get a free first swim class at Goldfish Swim in Portland, Maine with the same code MAMAS2024. You just have to give them a call. So Yeah.
I feel like Annabelle is there, like, she's like the face.
Basically, at this point, she's so obsessed. Goldfish She'll be swim. Like, she gets in the water and her face just lights up and she has this big, huge grin on her face the entire time. So it's like, and she's always turning around to look and see if we're there. So we get the best face shots on the camera.
Oh, that's so cute. I know. Yeah. I can't wait to get Hayden enrolled in swim classes.
Yeah.
I feel like he's going to. He loves his bath time so much. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. He's understanding like the appropriate times to say yeah or yes mm-hmm. And the appropriate times to say no. And it's just like so cute to me.
Yeah.
And, but like, I'll ask him, be like, okay, do you want to go up and have a bath or you want to go have a book or whatever? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And he like grabs his blankie, grabs all his stuff. And he like walks over to like the stairs. And it's just like, he loves his bath time so much. He loves putting all his toys in the tub one by one. And it's like,
that's just adorable. Like
the cutest thing. Yeah. So I feel like he's gonna, I mean, the coldness of the water probably won't be his favorite to start, but once he's in there and playing around, he's gonna be like, oh wait, this is even better than a bath. This is fun.
Oh my gosh. I know. I love, so I know a lot of like swim schools do this, but they call it like their tropical oasis or something at Goldfish, where the room like of the pool is really, really hot, like warm. It's like you're on a beach somewhere. And then the water itself is like bath water. It's so warm.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really nice. So when we were at the pool at the hotel, it was heated and everything. But she jumps in and she goes, ooh, that a little bit chilly. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure it's definitely chillier than swim schools because it's not bath water.
Well, that's really smart. I didn't know that they made it warmer, but that makes sense because like kids at that age, most of them anyway, are probably used to like the warm water. They're not used to like the shock of the cold. So
and it's good because it's so funny. There are so many kids that like don't actually want to get wet. Like they like the idea of swimming, but like you'll see a whole line of kids coming out of the class and like some of them have soaking wet hair. They're just like dripping with water. And then others, their heads are just like completely dry and they're just like, oh, thank God that's over. Like, So yeah, it's wicked cute.
It's like there's two kinds of kids in the world.
Yep.
Well, I feel like that's all we have today, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any other topics here. So I guess we'll wrap this up so you can go finish getting yourself ready your day.
This was supposed to be my day. Like I was, but now like, what am I going to do with myself tomorrow? Like,
I don't know. It's a great question, Sonia. It's not nothing, anything I'm going to worry about.
Can we record again or something? I don't know.
Oh shit. So funny. Well, thank you guys for listening and thank you for being here, Sonia. It's great to have you.
You're welcome.
Be sure to tune in next week. Follow, subscribe, rate, and review. Tell a friend. We just need everything. Support. We need all of your support.
And for our co-host to show up and stuff.
And for our co-host to show up. I know. Yeah. I'm just like, okay, I have my mic is all set up. My computer's ready to go. Sent the link. What is missing? I feel like something's missing. Oh, my co-host. Yes, my fucking co-host is missing.
That's what I need.
Where is my co-host?
It would be great if she could show up.
Well, I'm glad you're here. You're very much alive. So yeah. I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, me too. For more info, you can check out our website at geriatricmamas.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at geriatric_mamas, on YouTube at geriatricmamas, Twitter at Geriatric Mamas, and follow our group page on Facebook, Geriatric Mamas.
If you have a topic idea you'd like us to discuss, are interested in being a guest, or simply have a funny geriatric story to tell, you can go to geriatricmamas.com and hit be a guest or send us your story.
Yeah, we want your stories. Like,
we want your stories.
I know we've probably beaten this. We've beaten this right into the ground, but like, I want to hear the funny shit your doctor says.
I don't think people care about that anymore.
It's so
funny. No, I don't think, not that, that I shouldn't say they don't care about it. I just feel like people aren't like, they can't, you know what? I wonder what it is. I wonder if it's like one of those things where like doctors have said some like really fucked up shit to people, but it's not really anything they really think about until like we tell another story and they're like, oh wait, my doctor has said something like that to me too.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
So there's probably like people out there that are listening to this that actually do have stories, but they don't realize it.
Oh my God. We need to start making, like, we need to start researching things like Halle Berry, for example.
Yeah. Like how many Is there anybody else out there that was told they have raging herpes?
Like, we need to start digging and finding this for ourselves so that we can share with people what we're saying outside of moldy eggs and salty boobs, because that's not all there
moldy
is.
Moldy eggs, salty boobs, raging herpes.
Yeah. At least we have another one. At least we have another one to throw into the mix.
Yeah, we're just going to add it to our list. Make a coffee book, like a coffee table book of like. Yeah.
Now we have two coffee table books we need to have made. I'm excited for us.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. We still need to make that one.
Yeah. Well, eventually it'll be in our store.
Oh, I have something funny to say. I meant to say this earlier. So our astrology episode. Mm-hmm. Remember how we were like, oh, do we have any like Sagittarius signs in our friend group? And we're like, I don't know. And then we're like, oh, wait, Amanda is Sagittarius. Yeah. Yes. And then I was like, I don't think I have any others in my family. Sorry. Apologies out there if there's anybody else. My fucking sister-in-law is a Sagittarius.
Really?
Yeah, she listened to that episode and she's like, I'm a Sagittarius, by the way. And
wait, I was
like,
yeah, because doesn't she share a birthday with
December
Amanda?
December 16th.
Oh my God, we forgot.
Yes. Yes. It's a big, big, important person in my life. Right. And I just was like, oh, I don't recall anybody else who's a Sagittarius. And it's just like, your fucking sister-in-law is a Sagittarius.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was like, I was laughing. She's like, I was listening along and I was like, I'm here. It's me. It's me. I'm Sagittarius.
Yeah. So you know how, and this is like, so you know how we didn't know if we knew any Aries in our lives. And then I threw out my like Boston Bobby Brown. Well, it turns out she's actually a Pisces. So, so get this. But I did realize I do know one singular Aries. And by the way, both of our signs are supposed to get along very well with Aries, but I don't have any Aries friends. And then I realized I was going through my Facebook because I'm like, I have to have Aries friends. There has to be someone in my Facebook friends. So guess what? Remember like a month ago when I was like, you know, this friends group, you know, they want to get together, but like I can't that weekend. And so.
Oh, that friends group. Yeah. Is it that person?
Yeah. So this one friend, like we ended up having to cancel plans like a few times, and these are people who we like don't really know very well. They're just like more like acquaintances, so like we keep rescheduling and rescheduling. I haven't seen these girls in like over a year except for one of them, and so finally one of them pipes up, the Aries mind you, pops up, and she goes, hey guys, like I don't think I have the energy to keep rescheduling. Like, I feel like at this point, I wish our connection was a little bit stronger. So I think I'm just gonna, you know, bow out going forward and not hang out with you anymore.
I think I'm just gonna like, not be your friends. Your friends with
you
guys.
We're no longer friends. I am exiting this chat. Bye.
This relationship is not bringing me joy.
That was the one Aries person that I knew, and I did not know that she was an Aries. I forgot our conversation about that because we
had
one.
That is so funny. Yeah. Oh my God, that's hilarious.
And what's hilarious is the first time we all got together as a group to hang out, we were going through our signs, and I was like, I love astrology. And she was like, oh, well, tell me about Aries. Like, what do you know about Aries? And I was like, that's actually the one sign like I don't know a whole lot about. So it's like, okay, I don't know anything about Aries. It's like the one sign I don't know. So I'm going to throw out a couple of things that I think might be a possibility. And she's like, I threw them out and she's like, nope, not me. Nope, not me. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess I know nothing about Aries, but there's a reason because I don't have any friends who are. I don't know. Is that just like not a common sign?
I mean, what are the dates again for an Aries?
It's like mostly March, I think. Like, and it's like right after Pisces. So it's like middle of March to middle of April, like March 20th to April 19th or something like that. So yeah, I don't know any. My half brother is a Taurus. He's the day after Aries ends. So that's the only other person besides this one girl.
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't that crazy though? How
that
we
is
don't
crazy,
know any,
but it's funny that that's the one person. Just like
dying.
It's like this bitch. Mm-hmm. So all good. Right. Well, I'm glad you're not an Aries. Mm-hmm. We are going to sign off now. So bye bye until next week.
Mm-hmm. If we're here.
Show up this time.
If we show up.
If we show up. Bye <Bye-bye>. Bye.